Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where you'll hear stories of inspiration and hope realized. Hosted by Diane Allen, intuitive empowerment mentor, who specializes in working with people who want to be freed from being stuck in life. You will hear personal stories and professional insights, along with tips on how to conquer overthinking, procrastination, and more. Here's Diane.
Hi, friends. It's Diane here with a great guest for you today. We are focusing on hope and living a life that's more grand than we could ever imagine. And I have a guest for you that will inspire you beyond your words. I've known her for a while, but when I met her the very first time, my whole being lit up. I'm like, oh my, this is a great person to know. And it's really been true the whole time I've known her. Her name is Ronnie Fulton, and she is the coolest kind of, I guess you'd call yourself a rolling fanatic. And I think it's so cool because she teaches this thing called rollissage, I think is how you say it. But she'll tell us more about it when she gets to talk, because I'm not a perfect expert at it all, but I think it sounds so like so much fun and very healing. She's a massage therapist and a personal trainer and an all-around amazing human being. The thing I respect about Ronnie, I was going to say the most, but one of the things I respect about Ronnie is that she's always learning and always growing and always serving everyone around her. Her whole way of being is, how can I be of benefit in this situation? And I think that level of consciousness is something that all of us can be inspired by. So we're all very, very gifted today to have with us on the show, Ronnie Fulton. Welcome, Ronnie.
Well, thank you, Diane. I'm so honored to be here and be able to share whatever I can with your listeners and to grow from you and from them. So I'm super excited to be here today.
Great. Well, I'd like to start with a little bit of conversation about how your journey, like, you know, from when you realized that you were somebody who had all these gifts that you're bringing to the world, and maybe how it formed. I mean, did you always have interest in training and massage and body kind of things, or how did all this happen? It's just so exciting.
Well, I've always had an interest in helping people, and that's manifest in different forms throughout the years. So when I was younger, I was, you know, in high school, I played basketball and softball. So I was always into fitness. And in my 20s, I got in a bad car accident and was injured and suffered a lot of low back pain and pain in my hips, and ended up going to a couple chiropractors and eventually met a neuromuscular therapist. And he was the one that helped me the most. So from there, I decided, you know what, I want to learn to do what he's doing, and I want to help people to the way that he helped me. So I decided to pursue neuromuscular therapy, not necessarily as a career change, but more just something of sincere interest. And so that's how I got into massage in my early 20s, and did some massage, explored a bunch of different avenues and wellness, but eventually got to the point where I knew that I wanted to share my passion of healing through touch therapy. And so I came up with ideas on how can I help the maximum amount of people at one time without having to limit them based on finances. And so that's the challenge that we have, of course, with massage therapy. We love massage. We know that it's beneficial for most people, but the one-on-one sessions, some people, they don't have the time for it, and or financially, it may not be something that they have an option for. So that's where I got in this concept of learning how to foam roll and incorporating what I've learned over the years as a massage therapist into a group setting.
That's how that works, because I see your pictures and things of what you're doing. I'm like, how did she come up with that idea?
Right.
And how cool is that? You know, plus they have the sense of community, everybody together doing it. So it there adds that extra benefit.
Absolutely. You know, the class is all, the focus is, of course, on muscle therapy. But one of the things that I highlight in the class, it's about love. It's about self-love and creating a community where we honor and love each other. So that, even as I teach my instructors, because I have a certification now where I teach other people how to do what I'm doing, that is the number one priority, is self-love, self-care, and sharing that with the people around you.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Your energy is so loving and kind, and that's great that you're teaching that to people so that that consciousness in that way is forefront in your work. I mean, it's not a surprise to me, but I'm also happy to hear that at the same time. That's great.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that it just kind of unfolded. I was teaching other formats, other group exercise formats. And so for me, when I started with Rollisage, it was completely unique from what was in the gyms. And actually, people made fun of me. And, you know, but that's kind of the case with anything that's new, right? But we were really focused on making sure that people had a certain experience. So everyone was welcomed. It had nothing to do with, you know, targeting just young people or people who were, you know, totally already fit or what have you. Everyone's always welcome in a Rollisage class. So we roll with kids, we roll with 80-year-olds, people that are CrossFitters, extreme fitness fanatics, and people who just had surgery a couple of days ago. So everybody's welcome because it's all about healing.
Wow, Rollisage, I love it. And I love that everyone is welcome. And, you know, because so many times when people have, you know, things that they need to do on their body, whether it's they want to work on it or they just want to feel better, there's sometimes some hesitation and procrastination and overthinking and will I be welcome or is this an okay thing or what will they think about me and all of those doubts that come up. And so to have a place that's safe and loving no matter who you are or what's going on is such a great oasis in our world today.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I think where we've been able to carve out our specific niche at all the fitness facilities, because yeah, we are that one class to where people come in, they're interviewing, they're trying to decide if they want to join that particular fitness facility, and they can always speak to and say, hey, you can go to Rollisage no matter what their conditions, no matter what their goals are, is advantageous for everyone. And we create that community. We notice if you're not there. We notice if you come in late. We notice if you're smiling. We know, I mean, just all of that I think is so important in today's world.
Right. Well, people feel acknowledged and welcomed, and that's part of the healing, and that's part of our sense of community, and that's part of love after all. So that's, it's just so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I am speaking of love and this unique ability to create amazing things for people. You're a parent of a gifted son who, and you're gifted yourself, and you have all of these great assets in who all of you are. Your husband's amazing too. And so I think about you guys and what it must be like in a household with three amazing, gifted, neat people. And I smile. I'm smiling, as you can know, right now, because I'm picturing your beautiful son's smile and how he obviously is loved and supported in his athletics and other things and the garden you guys have and everything. And what I'd like you to talk a little bit about is, it's really going somewhere, is how it is for you being the mother of a really amazing, gifted, loving young man and the lessons he has been teaching you. We'll start there. The lessons that he's teaching you.
Well, the ultimate lesson that he's taught me is that it is all about love. I had him, I was at the time I had my own wellness center. So I was an entrepreneur at that time. And then once I was blessed to be his mother, I kind of panicked and I thought, well, you know what? I need something more secure. I need more stability. So I went into the corporate world because some kind of way in my mind at that time, I thought that meant security for whatever reason. And honestly, got a little sidetracked, you know, started climbing that corporate ladder, whatever that means, working extra hours and morphing into a person that I wouldn't have been proud to know, if I'm honest. So kind of got away from my core beliefs. Because I was caught up in achieving a goal and pursuing a position and money. And looked up, and he was at the time about maybe four when I realized that I wasn't being the mother that I knew I was called to be. You know, I didn't have time for him. How could I? You know, I'm working 50, 60 hours, stressed out. Who has time to cook in the evening? Who has time to do anything outside of just my needs? And so from that perspective, I literally quit that job and decided, you know what, my first priority is to love my family and be available for them. So he's that constant reminder when I'm pursuing dreams and aspirations, is that at the end of the day, am I loving? Am I being loved? And that guides my decisions. So every day he's a reflection of the lessons that I teach him, either verbally, which of course parents we love to, but and by example. So sometimes he'll parrot back things to me that I'm thinking, okay, I'm not setting the best example of that. But yeah, the biggest thing that I've learned from him is just the power of love, the benefit of love, what it feels like to be loved unconditionally, and how that inspires me. So even on rough days or days where maybe I'm second guessing myself, you know, I'm human, to have that unconditional love from another individual is everything.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Tell me a little bit about what inspired the garden and teaching him to grow the food and growing food together as a family.
My husband, you know, my husband, I always say he's from the country. So he's from Kingstree, South Carolina. You, I'm sure, have never heard of it. It's about an hour from Charleston. We were actually just there last week visiting family. So my husband's a country boy, and I'm constantly trying to, you know, make sure that we're staying true to our roots and that my son knows his family. And I just think that's important. So I've always said I want to grow a garden. It's something that I've not been successful at all. And a wonderful friend of mine and client, her name is Peg Fries. She's a master gardener. And so she told me about the opportunity and set up everything for me because I had no idea what I was doing. And it's just something that my son and I, we took to. So we go out there twice a week. And, you know, it's a great experience, of course, for kids, because you start off and he wasn't that interested because, of course, it's just dirt. You know, there's nothing to see, nothing to do. And then once we started getting the little sprouts and, you know, little strawberries and collard greens and tomatoes, you know, he was able to see the benefit of cultivating. You know, we cultivated the land, we watered on a weekly basis, and then to see kind of the fruits of his labor. So it was a growth process, but it was something that also as a family we could, you know, it meant a lot to us because that's how my husband grew up. They grew a lot of their own food. And so it was an opportunity for me to share that with my son.
That's great. So not only do you have the quality family time, but your son knows that not all food comes through windows. You know, he's not always in a drive-thru.
You know? Absolutely. And we get really yummy food. I mean, we grew some squash, zucchini, collard greens, bib lettuce. You know, we got a pretty good yield this year.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. It's so nice to just experience and hear of families together in things that are just the basic necessities, that when we honor that, like when you honored your inner voice to be true to your family and be true to love and leave the corporate world because you are getting away from who you are.
Right.
You know, it takes guts and courage to do that. And it's also the most rewarding thing in the world at the same time, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, if I had to do it all over again, I would have done it sooner. You know, we all struggle with having confidence and faith that our decisions will lead us in the right direction. So it was scary. It was scary to leave that, you know, quote unquote, good paying corporate job. And at the time, I didn't really have a full-time entrepreneurial business to jump into. But it's like I had this calling, this awakening that I was not serving my family. And I was not proud of myself as an individual because I wasn't holding on to my core values. So decided, hey, you know, I got to be true to me. I got to live the life that I was destined to. So now as excited as I am about my business, my entire business model is built around me being able to be of service and be there and available for my family. So super excited about that.
Oh, that's awesome. So how do you handle when you come within yourself dealing with overthinking, when you're overthinking something maybe that you want to do or that your heart is saying, or you have an inspiration and then you find yourself just kind of ruminating and thinking a little bit more than maybe is comfortable? What are some tips that you use to help yourself not get lost down that rabbit hole?
I mean, I know we hear it all the time, but it really is a just do it. I took this workshop long ago, maybe about 7 years ago. And one of the presenters, she said, make peace with the suckage, you know, and for whatever reason, that just resonated with me. So a lot of times when I'm overthinking because it's coming from a fear of failure. You know, I don't know, is this a good idea? Is it going to work? And what I've done over time is realize, you know what, the first step out is pretty much going to suck, right? So the first time you try something, it's probably not going to be the huge success that you were hoping for. So when I find myself overthinking based on fear, I just think, okay, embrace the suckage, get out there and do it. You know, it may not be successful the first time, but the second time, the third time, the fourth time, it's going to get better. So at the end of the day, you know, you just got to take massive action and commit to learning from that. I know I'm going to make mistakes, but I've learned to honor that and love myself, to forgive myself for bad business decisions or whatever decisions that were, you know, not the best, but you learn from it and it builds confidence and it builds momentum. So you just got to do it.
Oh, that's wonderful. I talk about massive action all the time because mm-hmm. there's nothing better than taking any action, some action to get us off that stuck point. And then we can kind of reevaluate and see where we're going from there. So that's perfect. I love it. I love the embrace the suckage part. That's hilarious. I'm like, I really like that phrase, you know?
Yep. I must think that at least once a day when I'm trying to make a decision or, you know, taking that leap of faith, it's like, hey, Ronnie, you know, you're going to suck sometimes, but it's okay. It's just going to make you stronger.
Right. That's wonderful. So when you're working with a client or maybe yourself, but especially clients that have an issue with procrastination, and, you know, procrastination can come from lots of different places. But what I'm curious about is if you have some tips or anything that you would like to share about how to help someone who's procrastinating, whether it's oneself or another, to kind of get off of that procrastination space and actually take the action. Like, what kind of things do you share with people or suggest or use yourself to help alleviate the negative effects of procrastination?
Hands down, you know, you have to have at least one accountability partner. So I think it's so important to have, you know, whether it's a professional coach, whether it's a best friend, a business partner, whomever it is, you have to have someone that will hold you accountable and that will call you on your crap, you know. So you don't need someone that's just gonna, you know, kind of listen without helping you to take action. But I have a business partner. And then I have my sister, who's my best friend in the world, and they understand me and they know when I'm BSing and when I'm, you know, sincerely have a concern. So I do speak with them on a regular basis. My business coach, my business partner, we meet twice a week and we work a to-do list. So, I mean, the next piece is that if you're looking at a project, a lot of times we can become overwhelmed and the enormity of that project, which leads to the procrastination. So what I've learned is to break it down in little pieces. So as that saying goes, inch by inch, everything's a cinch. So if you break it down into small pieces, it tends to be a lot more manageable. So a combination of that, having an accountability partner, and then having a very good project management or task management system, those three things are what I advise anyone who would listen to me and about procrastination or how do you achieve goals. And that's the way I work it every single day. Every single week is always about, you know, looking at the big picture, but then breaking it down into individual pieces and making sure I'm tracking myself. I have a software package that I like to use. And so it, of course, gives me all my to-do list. And then I have two people that I'm accountable to every single week to make sure that I'm not just rearranging those tasks on my schedule, but I'm actually executing them and then moving forward.
Oh, I love that. So do you share these same ideas with your clients when you're working with them and they're procrastinating, following directions or following some of the guidance that they're receiving on their care?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a part of, I think, their success. So when I'm working with clients, especially in a pain management type environment, you know, it's not a quick fix. You know, they're not going to get on my table and then an hour later, voila, everything's fine. So, you know, I work with them, I give massages, I stretch them out, we do different types of muscle care, but their long-term success is based on their, what I refer to as homework and achieving certain benchmarks. And oftentimes people, you know, I'll say, well, do you stretch? Do you drink water? Are you walking? Well, no. So we go through some of this as far as accountability, you know, and trying to help them understand why are you not doing these things. And then, you know, I teach them, okay, hey, this week we're just going to work on this. Let's not worry about all this. No, I don't really want to, you know, don't tell me a long story about your back. Let's just focus today on your hips. And this week we're going to do this one thing every single day, and I'm going to hold you accountable. And I do call them and I do have them email and text so that once we can achieve that goal, then we move on to the next goal. So it's like little pieces that finally come together to create this puzzle.
So that's a great example of the love you were talking about in the beginning and the total acceptance of somebody that, you know, I've been getting massages my entire, you know, life practically. And I think I've maybe had one or two people call to see how I was doing, but never anybody holding me accountable ever for what they suggested or what the plan was or whatever. And so I think that that one of the things that's natural to you to make sure they're really doing their homework and staying focused and all of those things, that accountability that is not common in the massage industry, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's one of, you know, my passions is to, as I create certifications and programs to train other professionals, is helping them to remember that, you know, you are a massage therapist. There is the therapist element of it. You know, the 60 minutes on the table is the massage. Where's the therapy? So you're there to help them to change behaviors. You're there to help them to be accountable for the state that their body is in, but also to empower them so that they can feel better. So that's why I describe as I am a true therapist. So I'm gonna, you know, before every session we talk. And after every session, we come up with a game plan. So, hey, it's not just get on the table, let me rub on you and leave, but it's, okay, these are some things that I'm going to empower you to do over the next 7 days or 14 days until I see you again so that you can feel better in your body.
Oh, that's so refreshing. I'm just listening to you going, oh.
It's much needed in this world. You know, like I said, especially dealing with pain management, there's so many people out there who are hurting, you know, and that's what drives me. Whether I'm working with the client one-on-one in a massage session or if I'm working with 40 students in a rolassage class. You know, there's so much what I refer to as unnecessary pain. And as a therapist, I want to empower people to minimize that pain. And so that's where the therapy, the coaching, the accountability piece has to be there. If not, it's just temporary.
Right. And it also helps people. I think the homework that you give and that accountability piece helps remind people that we're responsible for our own welfare, that we live in this
Absolutely.
Culture. You know, our culture says, go to the therapist, go to the doctor, go to whoever, and they're going to fix us from the outside in. And then that's all we have to do. We don't have to do anything else. It's, you know, your responsibility to make me feel better, whoever that person is. And I deal with it all the time where people come to me and when I start giving homework and saying, okay, well, I'm going to call you every day or you need to text me or we come up with the accountability piece because I'm great at accountability.
yes.
And as you know, so yes. I laugh because most people look at me like confused dogs for a minute because they're just expecting somebody from outside of them to give them the answer mm-hmm. and then they don't have to be accountable or responsible. And I think the tide's changing and people are starting to wake up some. I said, but you don't always see people who are out here helping others really being clear that the onus of the action and what really happens is on the client. Mm-hmm. We're like the jumper cables. We're the ones who have skills and understanding and action things, and we can really help light people up and get them in the right direction. But if they don't do their part, then it ties our hands. And so in the massage industry, I think that is really so important because I know a lot of people that just go get a massage and that's all it is. And that's fine, but it doesn't really affect long-term change in the therapist part, like you say, I think is so vital for people to understand that, you know, what's your motive? What are you doing really going to that massage therapist or going into that yoga class or going to the gym or whatever? Like, what am I really trying to affect here?
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more, you know, the trying to help people to realize is that it's their body, it's their responsibility, you know. So as a therapist, I'm there to help, but at the end of the day, they're responsible for creating that change that they want. And so with that, you know, some people that can be kind of, you know, unnerving the first time they hear it. But I always say it's tough love. And, you know, at the end of the day, remember, it is love. I'm doing it because I want you to feel better. So if you're just going to lay on the table for 60 minutes and you're not going to stretch and you're not going to change some of your postural habits and so forth, then I'm probably not the right therapist for you. So I've been doing this long enough to, I want to work with people who want to get better. And so I commit to, you know, those people who are willing to commit to their better health.
Yes. So now I have another interesting little topic for you that goes with what you just said. This is so great. I'm having so much fun speaking with you. Resistance to change. You know, there's a lot of people who are very, very motivated to make changes in their lives. And they get started and they come out of the block strong. And then pretty soon these different little resistances come up, known to them and maybe unknown to them. But yet resistance is, you know, I think sometimes, you know, our system wants to keep that equilibrium. When we try to affect change, we have to kind of work through those little resistances, whatever they are. And so what would you say, or do you have any tips for people who are really motivated, but they're finding some of those inner resistances, like maybe stalling on the appointment, or, you know, you say to stretch so much and they do some of it, but not quite all of it, you know, where it's not an outright no, but there's those little, I call them little glitches, little moments of static that are kind of like, you know, rubbing funny. And how do you help people get through those kinds of things?
I think a lot of it is preparation, knowing what you're getting yourself into. So if I'm trying to help someone to make a change, we actually will discuss that. I'll say, okay, hey, you're feeling great right now. You're super motivated. But come 3 days from now, what are you going to do when you don't feel like doing my stretches? Or what are you going to do, you know, when you're busy and so forth? So a lot of it is helping them to understand exactly what you said as far as, hey, we're in a place right now. I'm excited, gung-ho. But you eventually get to the point where there's a glitch or there's some resistance. So you know it's coming. So you're prepared for it. So now what are you going to do next? And then the next piece, I think, is being honest. You know, I try to, you know, I always tell people that you can't lie to your therapist. You know, you can lie to other people, but my hands will know whether or not you've been doing your stretches, whether or not you've been making those changes. So make sure you are being honest with yourself first, as far as what are your motives and what is really, really causing you to be resistant. You know, I get people all the time, I'm sure you have it as well, where they blame everyone else. You know, hey, I couldn't do the stretches. I didn't walk because I had to take my son to basketball practice or whatever it is. And so I'm constantly challenging them. No, it's like, don't lie to yourself. You know, why did you not, you know, what are your motives? Why are you not making yourself a priority? Because that's really what's happening. You didn't miss your stretches or your exercise because you had to take your son to practice. You missed it because you didn't make yourself a priority. So I do it for myself as far as when I'm creating change, if I'm going in a different direction, I try to prepare myself and have that conversation as far as, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable. And then once it gets uncomfortable, what are you going to do to be able to push through it? That also comes back to an accountability partner. So once again, as their therapist, I'm that accountability partner. But with myself, you know, I have my ladies who help me through that process when I'm doing something that's different. And now I'm hitting that roadblock where, you know, I'm kind of redirecting myself, making excuses, rethinking it. And they're the ones that help me push through. And then being super honest with yourself. Sometimes we're just afraid. We've gotten to a point where now it's scary, and that's okay. So if you can be honest with yourself and now you're scared, then now you can do something about that fear. So being prepared, having accountability, and once again, that honesty factor.
Yeah, self-honesty is so important because, you know, if we're not honest with ourselves, like really about what's really happening, we can't do anything. The fear doesn't have a chance to service, you know, because the function of fear means to get ready. But the function of that fear that gives us the energy to get ready can't really fully work if we're not honest about that that's what it is. And it's important in our process because I think any good change worth making, there's going to be some kind of resistance at some point or fear that comes up or doubt that comes up or any of that if we really, really want it. If it's we're just playing around, we probably won't feel it as much. So I think that's really wise, sage advice you just shared. Thank you.
You're welcome. And one other thing I'll add is I think, you know, words have power. So I'm just now getting into a space where I'm doing more public speaking. And that can be kind of nerve-wracking. Even when I teach class, that's public speaking on some level. But so people will say, well, hey, are you scared? You know, are you afraid? And years ago, I learned to change that wording and say, no. You know, I'm not afraid. I'm not scared. I'm excited, you know? And so I think for me that just changing the wording allows me to shift my attitude towards it. So not coming from as much of a place of fear, but coming from a place of this excitement, this positive energy to move forward.
Absolutely.
So that helps me well.
That's exactly what I say. People ask me all the time when, because I have a lot of conferences to speak in coming up, and I'm almost always speaking in front of a group. And a lot of people are saying, well, you're such an introvert. And aren't you ever afraid? I'm like, no, actually, I'm very excited. I spend my whole time being excited. And it completely shifts the way I look at it. And when I say that to someone, they go, oh, and then they start seeing it differently. It's just kind of cute how that all kind of cascades down, you know?
Yeah.
Oh boy. So your company now is called Restore Fitness, right?
Correct.
And so you do workshops and you train other people to do what you do. And then you also see clients yourself, like individual clients still, right?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was curious about learning more about what you do and how to know more about you, what could they do? Is there a website they can go to, or do you have an email list, or do you have something, a YouTube channel that maybe they could see and learn more about this amazing Rolissage and the other things that you do?
Yes. So we have a website. It is irestorefitness.com. We are just about done with it, but it is up in a beta version. So it's just about done, but there's a few features that's not active yet. So Restore Fitness is the company's new name. And on that site, you can look at, there's a fully developed calendar. So it shows all of our classes, all of our workshops, all the programs that we offer. So right now we have Rolissage, which is our group exercise foam rolling class. And January the 11th, I will be doing my first workshop called MyoLove. And what MyoLove is, it's my obsession with massage, because that's what I do. It is a group style form of massage therapy. So I can host up to 10 people. We partner everyone up. So there's five people on the table. So there's five people getting massages. And then I'm teaching five people how to give massages in a fully clothed, open environment. So it's a pretty unique class. I've done it for years more as a couples massage type workshop on Valentine's Day, but now this is something I'm integrating more on a regular basis. So that's the newest group exercise class that we have coming out. And then also we have a Restore app that will be launched on January the 15th. So got a lot of positive things going, but my ultimate goal is to teach people how to love on themselves, so self-care, and then in turn, share that with the people around them. My philosophy has always been, is that, you know, a lot of times people just don't feel well, and it's not an excuse for treating people poorly. But I will say, when people are living in pain, if they're living in fear, if they're stuck, you know, different issues, then they're not able to be the best version of themselves for the people around them. So one of my passions is to help people to minimize their pain. And yes, I work with a lot of athletes and performers and so forth, but ultimately so that they can feel better and share and express love more openly and freely with the people around them.
Oh, that's great. And so people can go to your website, irestorefitness.com, and learn more about you and learn more about all the amazing things that you're doing and follow you there and see what neat things you're up to. And I will put that link and your other links in the show notes so you can contact Ronnie and tell her you heard her on this podcast and see what neat things that you can get engaged with her or just connect with her, because Ronnie's amazing. So before we end today, I just have one more thing I'd like to bring up, and that is, if there's anything you feel in your heart that you would like to share that we haven't already talked about to our listeners and to me about hope or feeling good about yourself or any of those kinds of things, because I'm sure you're such a heart-centered person, things have come up in your heart during this conversation that you might like to say. So this is your opportunity to say what is on your heart that you would like people to know.
Well, what is on my heart and the thing I want to share is my belief system that we are all put on this earth to do something meaningful, something powerful. We all have a calling. And so when we look at whether it's entrepreneurship or whatever it is you're gifted and called to do, it's your responsibility. So when we talk about fear and procrastination, look at it bigger than just you. You have a purpose. And it is your responsibility to share that purpose with the world. And don't let fear, procrastination, self-doubt get in the way. It's just that simple.
Yeah, it's very simple. Sometimes it's tricky and it's simple too, but that's why we all have each other to support each other and be accountable with each other for getting up past all that static. So that's an amazing message. Thank you so much. And I want to thank you, Ronnie, for being on the show today. And I all want to thank you even more for all the healing, great work, and the great presence that you are of love and kindness and generosity in this world, and for being that great mother and that great role model and that great therapist, because it's not easy. It takes a lot of guts to stand in that level of integrity with such beauty and poise and grace as you have. So I just want to thank you on behalf of all of humanity for what you're doing, and on behalf of myself and the listeners here at the Someone Gets Me podcast for taking your valuable time and enriching our lives. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate you having me on the show and being able to share with your listeners and like-minded people. And just want to say how much I appreciate you as well. And you know, that someone does get me as well. You know, you and I know our story. I met you through a mutual friend and was able to attend one of your retreats. And it was life-changing. It really was. It helped me. It challenged me in certain ways and then inspired me in others. So I'm always watching what you're doing on Facebook, listening to your podcast, checking out your websites, because we all need that accountability. We all need a tribe that helps us and propels us forward. And I think that's what Someone Gets Me is all about, that there are people out there like us who are living an inspired life and want to share our gifts with others. So thank you so much.
Oh, that's sweet, Ronnie. Thank you so much. So everybody remember that if you keep your face to the sun, the shadows fall behind you. You are a rock star. So this is your time to bring your gift to the world, because it's needed and loved. And so until the next episode of Someone Gets Me, don't forget, you're a rock star. Go for it.
Thanks for tuning in to Someone Gets Me. To find out more, please visit Diane's website at missdianeallen.com. That's missdianeallen.com. Be sure to take a second and subscribe to the show and share with anyone that you think may benefit. Until next time, remember, the world needs your special gift. So let your light shine.